This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 9:36 in the morning, Thursday, November 16th. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Tan Chung Khan, and our special guest today is Dawn Lai. She's the Chief Executive of RAM Credit Information. Now, of course, you are listening to The Morning Rant. This is Ringgit Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Dawn, you're here to kind of like discuss the big news of the day, which is all about data breaches and all about the 2014 transgression where something like 46.2 million mobile subscribers had their home addresses, their MyCard numbers, their SIM card information leak out into the public hemisphere. Now, of course, that's leading to all kinds of, crimes, whether it's, you know, bogus mobile phone numbers or bogus loan applications. What message do you bring us today, Dawn?
Hi, morning, Chuang and Han. Morning to the listener. Okay, if you look at it for the data breaches in terms of information that leaking out, it does not just happen to Malaysia. I think the more recently, if you look at it, there are cases that happen in the state, US, and in the earlier years that you have cases that happen for Yahoo accounts. So the advice, the message I would give it to the listener here would be stay vigilant, stay alert. You can't change the fact that the data has been leaked out. And the important part for you to do now is that be careful. And be extra careful whenever you receive unsolicited call, unsolicited email, and watch out of information that what you should do. And definitely there will be what I so-called other steps that you should take in terms of looking at your own credit report, checking your credit card statement. Those are the things that you can take in terms of the steps to mitigate the risk of data breach.
Okay, and we'll go into those active steps in just a bit. But, you know, you started off with drawing comparisons between what happened here in Malaysia versus Yahoo and even Equifax recently. So given how widespread this problem is that inadvertently like a source of comfort for us that, hey, there are many, 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 you know, people's data out there that's been lost as well. So anybody who wants to use it will have to really sieve through a lot of stuff. So that minimizes the risk of, you know, us getting exposed. Is that one way of looking at it?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay. But it's not like, you know, all 14 million of us will be at equal risk, right? And I mean, I'm just trying to get a sense. How afraid should I be? How worried should I be here?
Yeah. Okay. So if you look at it that for me personally, myself, I'm not as worried. Being in this industry, I know that at the end of the day, what we as an individual can do is that we have to take extra steps to protect our own information. And what you can do is in terms of how you can making sure that information and dealing calls that reach out to you and paying attention to whatever information that you're utilizing in terms of your personal information.
Okay, so you're in the personal data space, Dawn. This morning, we talked about how this tech blogger from The Star, Keith Rosario, he set up this website called sayakanahack.com. And all you need to do is go to the site and put in your IC number and you can get a result in terms of whether your IC has been hacked to use for other mobile phone subscribers' subscriptions which are not necessarily yours. If you find out that your mobile number is not registered to you and there's been some breach on your data, what do you do next? What kind of redress, what kind of recourse can you seek?
I think definitely what I would advise that is that immediately go to the telco. I think whichever telcos that you find that the number are listed under your name, which is actually not what you have subscribed for, get them to actually terminate the line because you are the person that who belongs to the ID.
Okay, so not your own number, but the number that you see on the screen that is not yours, yeah? So it's whatever, then you go to that whatever,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then do you also go to the MCMC?
You should report to the MCMC. But that is actually what I so-call just to report as a case. But personally, what I think is that what you can do as an individual is take a control, be it that go to the telco directly or checking on your own credit statement to see that if there's any suspicious transactions.
But, okay, let me draw upon my personal experience because I can hack lah, okay? And, yeah, somebody took my information, set up this broadband account, and I don't know because the billing doesn't come to me. Right, the billing goes to some bogus address, right? And this person racked up over ringgit in charges. I only find out about it when the those guys who are chasing the collections guys, the bill collectors, come to me and I'm like, what on earth is this? I did not open this account. So by then, it's like too late though. So even if I close the account, they're still chasing me for the amount owed to them, right? So, I mean, it's such a tedious process. You've got to go to the police, make a report, all that kind of stuff. So really, you know, like, even if we do these steps, isn't it too late already?
I think that there are some considered as identity theft victims. In your case, that people using your identities to actually apply for a broadband line. There are cases that people apply for loans or apply for credit cards. These are the cases that at this stage now, it's a bit too late, like what you say.
Yeah.
You have to report to the so-called authorities or report back to whoever is the telco or the banks. But what I can give advice is to those that whoever out there now, check it out. And before something happens to you, take action, be it take out your number, terminate the line before something happens.
But then for those like me who are after it happened, and during these years, you know, my credit score is at risk, my address is out there, my phone number is out there, my IC number is out there, right? Then no hope lah.
You can report to the telco. I'm not too sure about your situations. Did you go back to the telco concerns to report?
Well, the telco closed down already. There's only one, so you figure out who it is. Actually, no, they didn't close. Well, it got bought over by another big company. You figure out who it is. Yeah.
Okay, so Don, I mean, you are quite a knowledgeable person in this field. How do you protect yourself from, you know, these potential breaches?
I think apart from what I have mentioned earlier, watching out, the other aspect of it is that I will always check on my own credit card statement every month.
Transactions.
Looking out for any suspicious transactions. Is that really transaction done by myself? And in terms of phone bill, looking through it actually every month. And I think on top of that, subscribe to what I so-call credit monitoring service. Credit monitoring service that offer by credit information company, credit reporting agency like
such
ourselves.
As yourself.
Such as ourselves. Would offer what I so-call peace of mind. Whenever someone applying credit using your name or open some things, and if this information is captured by us, an alert will be actually sent over to you.
This is the Morning Run, and we are talking to Dawn Lai, the CEO of RAM Credit Information, on the personal finance show called Ringgit and Sense. We're going to be coming back in a couple of minutes, and we're going to be talking about the whole business of credit ratings for people as well as for companies. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, 9:47 in the morning. I'm Koo Strong and I'm joined by Tan Chung Han. We're talking this morning to Dawn Lai, the CEO of RAM Credit's Information. It is the show that's all about personal finance. It's called Ringgit and Sense. And the subject this morning is basically personal data breaches. If we can, Dawn, let's switch the conversation around to your business in terms of offering credit ratings to both individuals and companies. To the ultimate buyers, which I guess are the providers of finance, whether it's the banks or the finance companies or the insurance companies. Now, you are at loggerheads, I guess, in competition with the CTOSs of this world. It's a growing sector because back in the day, we never had individual credit ratings, but that whole phenomenon is rising in the last couple of years, I guess, due to Bank Negara's interventions. You know, what's at stake here? And what's at stake here in terms of and in reference to this personal data breaches that is really gripping the nation now?
Okay. For I think the Malaysian now, in terms of the awareness, in terms of credit information by individual, is rising as compared to the earlier years. And with more and more credit reporting agency like ourselves, I think there are a lot more public awareness reaching out to the consumer in terms of why it is important for them to look at their own credit health. This is actually what we so-called protecting your credit health. And in the sense that looking after yourself, and you will know that whenever you apply for credit in future, the chances for you to get the approval will be higher. So the whole thing about credit score credit ratings, it is actually about a credit standing of a company or an individual.
Okay, so as a frame of reference for discussion here, Dawn, for example, in terms of people's personal information, there is the legitimate side, which is obviously people like yourselves and CTOS, and the illegitimate side, which is of course the data hackers. Now, your side, you've got access to liabilities or the liabilities of companies and individuals, and then from there you form a credit rating or credit score based on the guy's safety or not safety as a potential client of the financial services company. You know, and I guess both of you, both the illegitimate side and the legitimate side, have access to sensitive information. That line can sometimes be porous, amorphous maybe. You know, the information can pass between both sides. How do you in turn protect the data you have on hand from the perpetrators?
Okay, as the registered credit reporting agency, it is also definitely our duty and obligations to ensure that information, data entrusted to us are being protected. For us, that under REM, we call ourselves REM Credit Information, REMC, we are ISO certified company under Information Security Management, is ISO 27001. And one of the key aspects of things is we have to ensure there is a proper control and process to ensure information are protected, not just about the IT aspect, as well as the processes that we have.
Okay, so the picture you paint, or the picture you can gather right now, is only one side of the balance sheet, which is the liabilities, right? You don't have the income side yet. Do you think there'll come a day when, you know, the regulators will allow some kind of visibility into the income-generating side of the potential client?
For now...
Because for listed companies, you can. For companies, you can, because of companies' commission data, right? Albeit a little bit later, 9 months. But not for individuals. Do you think that for regulatory reasons, one day the central bank might say you can have some visibility?
As what you say, companies, these are informations that are available through their financials. But for individual, in the foreseeable future, I don't see that will be made available for this foreseeable future. We are looking at some other developed countries, like even in the US, UK. Generally, as a credit reporting agency, a credit bureau, we do hold information about their credit transactions. We hold information about their payment behavior. We hold information about how do they conduct themselves.
Correct. But how can you provide an accurate rating or credit score if you only have one side of the equation, not the other?
The credit score, actually, if you look at it, the objective of a credit score is to predict what is the probability of default of a person. And incomes usually are using it for debt service ratio. Like, for example, having an income, are you able to service your debts? But doesn't mean that you have the income, you have a good credibility in terms of servicing your loan. So ultimately, the two, income as well as your credit score, come hand in hand.
So how do you know if someone's under-leveraged or over-leveraged then? Again, if you only know the liabilities part of it. Because, you know, I could be taking, you know, a small amount of loan based on what I take home, but you don't know what I take home though, right? So how do you base a score on that?
Okay, credit score.
And if, let's say, you know, I'm under-leveraged and maybe I'm just absent-minded and I don't make my monthly payments on time, you know, why should that count so much against me?
Okay. I think overall credit score offered by credit bureau like ourselves is actually telling people the credibility of a person. But in terms of when the user, be it the banks or companies who use the score, they would take into other factors in terms of consideration. They do not just purely look at the credit score. Credit score would tell them about what is the conduct of payment of this person. Is this person a good credit paymaster?
What kind of other factors?
Other factors like your income, like your other demographic.
Well, declared, right?
If you apply with the banks, you will have to tell them about the income, and those are the informations will be privy to them.
And if your monthly gaji goes into that bank as well, they know.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's only half the picture. So, you know, I think it was last year's budget, there was an authority ominously termed the CIA. Remember? The Collective Intelligence Authority or some Collective Information Authority, whereby Customs, Inland Revenue and IRB, I think, got together and they said for the first time Malaysia will share information across three government agencies so that Inland Revenue can collect income more, or collect taxes more effectively. So the data is there, what I'm saying, Dawn,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So obviously from a regulatory perspective, you want to ensure, you know, as accurate a picture as possible. So that's hence the question I asked you.
I see. Yeah. Okay. I think that from a regulator standpoint, from the bank standpoint, you need such information around. Just that such information at this point in time, it is not available to the Bureau. And what at the best level in terms of the score we give you will be in terms of the credit standing of a person.
Okay. Don, earlier you gave us active steps on how to protect our personal data. What are some active steps that listeners can take right now if we want to improve our credit scores? Make sure we pay our bills on time. That's it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. There's first point. Pay your bills on time, be it the bills with the banking sector or be it the bills with your trade supplier, trade creditors or other non-bank credit grantors. And also making sure that your exposure is not high in a way that if the utilizations of the credit level has gone too high, that will have an impact in terms of your ability to pay back.
And what are some do nots? Like what are some no-nos?
Hmm?
Oh, like what should you avoid?
What should you avoid?
Also, I mean, besides missing a payment, yeah.
Also applying credit too frequently, that may have some impacts on your score.
So don't open every single credit card that you find at the mall. Right? Yeah, yeah.
We're nearly out of time, Don. But you know, obviously for the Ramsey report, yourselves, what is the biggest weightage in terms of the credit rating? What is the biggest component?
The biggest component is still about your payment behavior. That actually dictates about your credit score.
Okay, well, that was a fascinating discussion. I wish we could take it longer, but we can't because we're out of time. But thank you for spending time with us. We are talking to Don Lai, the CEO of RAM Credit Information, and this was the Personal Finance Show, Ringgit Sense, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.